Boarding in progress.
I wish to quickly make a quick message regarding the today's proceedings. I have a problem with my video, so you won't be able to see me. I wish to inform you that the chairperson of the committee is unable to attend today's proceedings due to urgent commitment she's engaged in. My process is to facilitate the appointment of the acting chairperson. As the rules of the National Assembly, Rule 159, state that if the chairperson of the committee is not present, the members should elect amongst themselves an acting chairperson. So I will quickly to facilitate that process of electing the acting chairperson. Members are therefore request any nominations amongst you to become the acting chairperson for the day. Over to you, members. You can do that by show of hands. Thank you very much. Member Hlongo, hands is up. Do you nominate anyone in the committee to become a acting chair?
Thank you very much, Lindy. I want to nominate Honorable Jane Manganyi to become the chair of today's meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any member that seconds Member Manganyi's nomination? Member Stock?
Thank you very much. Good morning, honorable members, departmental officials, and everyone who is in the meeting. A very good morning to all of you. I would like to second the nomination of Mejin Manganyi to be our acting chairperson. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much, members. There is a nomination and the seconder. Mayanga Manganyi, do you accept the nomination?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay. Members, if there isn't any other nomination, I will declare Member Manganyi to become a duly elected acting chairperson, and then she is conferred powers to make decision in this committee. So over to you, Member Manganyi.
Thank you very much, Lindy. And good morning, members, honorable members, the officials and everybody, the minister and the deputy minister. Thank you very much for colleagues to nominate me as the acting chair. I think you will assist me when I get lost. Thank you very much, Lindy. Can you flight the
agenda?
The agenda, please.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
Good morning, acting chairperson. Paulita speaking here. I'm just had a problem logging in, but I'm in. Thank you very much.
Can you see them?
I'm in as well.
Member Aris is. Chair? Acting chair? Member Manganyi?
Hello? I can hear you, Lindy.
Here is the agenda before the committee. Can you confirm the members present?
Yes, just confirm. I can't see here.
Okay, Chair. Good morning once again, members and departmental officials. Today is the 15th of November, 2023. I wish to confirm the following members of parliament that are present in this meeting. We have our acting chair, Member Manganye. We have Member Hlongo. We have Member Masango. We have Member Stock in our midst. We have Member Peterson. We have Member Briet. We have Member Sugars. We have Member Aris. We have Member Mare. So those are the members I've managed to pick up in the platform. If I miss out anyone, the member can indicate so. Chair, also, I've received an official apology from Member Mvana, who's unable to attend today's meeting due to urgent commitment. And also, Chair, Member Pulangulu, he has been admitted to hospital, so she won't be with us today. So those are the two apologies I've received thus far. Chair, also note that also the minister has just joined the meeting as well. Thank you very much, Chair. Also, we have your support team, consists of Yoli Kanye, our coordinating advisor, Siyavuya Kudula, our researcher, Fungile, our committee assistant, as well as Thandima Kobelela, the executive secretary. So we are a full delegation, Chair, to support you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lindy. Honorable members, before we can proceed, is there anyone who can move for the adoption of the agenda?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It's Honorable Song here. I move for the adoption of the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Songa. Any member to...
Chairperson? Acting Chair, it's Peterson seconding the proposal of Member Songo.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. The agenda is adopted. Honorable members, you are all welcome to this meeting. I think our meeting is not, I don't know if I see the agenda properly. It's not going to be so long. We will be on point. I welcome all of you as the acting chair, as I have already alluded. So you will correct me where I'm lost, because it's the first time I chair this meeting. So you are all welcome. And the department, they are all here.
Honorable Chair, this is Khumbula Ndaba. Firstly, may I apologize for the DG. He's on official duties outside the country, so he can't join us. The acting chair for this period is Brenda, but Brenda is also unavailable because of another commitment at SANEC. So I am here together with the rest of the colleagues who are going to present today. And the minister is in the meeting, and we are ready for the meeting. Thank you very much, Chair.
The Deputy Minister is around.
I didn't see her on the platform, Chair.
Okay. Thank you.
Chair.
Hello.
Acting Chair. Can the first presenter present today? Just to a little bit of explanation. Today we will be receiving a presentation from the sponsor of a private member's bill on the Children's Amendment Bill, Member Masango. Member Masango will make her presentation on the proposal on the private members bill, and then also we also invited the department to respond on the proposed legislation. Yes, Chair. So that is the format of today's meeting. It's from the sponsor of the bill, and thereafter we have a department to outline or to respond to the proposal in the private members bill, and then we deliberate.
Okay, it's Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Honorable
Thank you, Honorable Masango.
I have my hand up, it's Minister Zulu, before the member comes in.
Oh, this, I wanted to give you the platform. They say you are not, you are attending the other meeting. I know it's Wednesday. I'm giving you the platform.
No, thank you very much, Chair. I'm not going to be in the meeting long. I also firstly wanted to say the DM also has an apology. She's in the SANAC meeting, which I was in earlier. I just came out of this meeting to be here quickly and then go back to that SANAC meeting. But the DM's apology is that she's attending the SANAC meeting right now. That's the first thing. The second thing is the chairperson. Thank you for chairing. The acting DG is Brenda, not the chairperson Wenalwana. Brenda is the acting DG. I think I'm
okay. Correct.
Yeah. So firstly, I wish to thank you for giving me this opportunity, albeit that I'm not going to be here until the end, also because I'm answering questions today in Parliament, so one needs to prepare for that. But I'm also in the SANAC meeting because it's a critical meeting for us. I just want to make the statement, Chairperson, that we appreciate and understand the responsibility that we have and the responsibility, of course, being given to us by the Constitution itself that deals with the rights of the children, and that Chapter 2 of the Constitution contains the Bill of Rights, which applies to everyone, and therefore the children also form part of everyone. And therefore, we will do everything we can as a Department of Social Development to make sure that those rights that are imposed on us by the Constitution, and rightfully so, and this includes the right to family care, love and protection, and the responsibility to show love, respect and caring to others, specifically the elderly and children. And so the presentation that will be made by the Department with regard to these amendments that are proposed is basically based on what I've just said now, and specifically the provision that guarantees children's rights, including the right to nationality from birth, parental care, basic nutrition, shelter, basic health care, and everything that comes with it. I want to make that statement, Chair, that with all the challenges and difficulties that the Department is confronted with, we put these rights at the front of everything that we do. And therefore, the proposed amendments here are taken into that context, and the rationale also is understood in that context. And I'm hoping that the Department will then be able to take that note and respond adequately as respected by this portfolio committee. With those opening words, I wish to thank the Chair, and then the Department will make the presentation at the right time, and apologize that I will jump out of the meeting due to what I've said. It's just that I unfortunately have to be, I would have loved to stay here and listen, but unfortunately I have to be out of the meeting maybe in the next 30 minutes or so. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. I will then hand over to Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would really like to take this opportunity to thank you, Acting Chair, and fellow Honorable Members of the committee for this opportunity to be able to come through and present this private member's bill. My computer is refusing completely to share a screen, and I am very indebted to our secretary for assisting, because I reached out to her earlier on. Chairperson, this private member's bill, as we go to the next slide, is a private member's bill that was inspired by what I consider to be a gap in the existing Children's Act, in terms of the number of children that are in the Act to be looked after by caregivers in the partial care facilities. So the children, this bill was...
Sorry, Honorable Masango, proceed.
Was introduced into the National Assembly on the 13th of July, 2023. And the objectives of this bill are the following. It is to insert a new definition for a new type of care, which we have for purposes of this private member's bill called the micropartial care. And also it is to provide that micropartial care is provided when a person takes care of six or less children on behalf of their parents, guardians, and caregivers during specific hours of the day or night, or for a temporary period by agreement with the parents, guardians, caregivers, and so on. And also it is to regulate micropartial care because the numbers, the six and less numbers, do not seem to be adequately or at all covered by the existing legislation. So it is to provide for matters relating to micropartial care and micropartial care facilities and to provide for further exclusions from what partial care entails. The bill also makes use of clauses from the previous executive bill, which was subsequently split and became a committee bill. We will recall this process when this happened with the Children's Amendment Bill. So, Chairperson, so the purpose of the bill currently, what is happening is that the Children's Act of 2005, as amended, is provides for the definition and regulation of partial care facilities, which have to facilities with more than six children. This is set out in Section 76 of the Act, which is the Children's Act. We will just be referring to it as the Act. And the Act does not provide for any regulation of protection for children in facilities with less than six children. And so the effect of this is that these type of facilities could potentially be, health hazards and not complying with norms and standards and be a risk to a child's well-being and development, and that I believe the Honourable Minister has referred to that earlier on in her opening, in her statement. This would be in direct conflict with Section 28(2) of the Constitution, and the bill thus aims to provide some regulation to facilities which care for less than six children by defining them as micro partial care facilities. This, in certain administrative aspects, however, these facilities will not be as heavily regulated as partial care facilities, to avoid negatively impacting their operations, because obviously they are looking after fewer children. So one doesn't want, while you want to protect children, but you don't want to negatively impact operations of the micro facilities. So the bill goes further to ensure that certain instances are excluded from the definition of partial care and micro partial care facilities. For example, such as family member looking after children while the parents are away, so as not to overregulate instances where community members or family are simply helping out while parents are away, and it's not a standing sort of arrangement, but they're just looking after children while parents are away. We shall go to the next slide. So the bill contains 32 clauses, However, the crux of the bill really is to expand the regulation of partial care facilities to those that care for less than six. This is all that this bill is about. But obviously one had to align it to existing legislation. So the majority of clauses are thus merely consequential to bring this new definition in line with what is already contained in the Principal Act. Some notable clauses are as follows. For example, clause one inserts a new definition into the Act, namely micropartial care, which is a facility which cares for less than six children. And so clause two amends section 45 of the Act by empowering the Children's Court to adjudicate on any matter involving a micropartial care facility. And so clause five substitutes section 76 of the Act so as to provide for further exclusion from what partial care entails. In this regard, Chairperson, the clause provides that partial care further excludes the care of a child by a domestic worker, family member, or pair, by a friend or any person known to the parents, guardians or caregivers who would not ordinarily take care of a child, but for the special request from parents, guardians or caregivers, or by any persons as the minister may determine from time to time. And we continue with the provisions of the bill, which is clause 6, inserting a new section, which is 76A, into the Act. The new section provides for micropartial care. It explains that micropartial care is provided when a person takes care of six or less children on behalf of their parents, guardians, or caregivers during specific hours of the day or night, or for a temporary period by agreement. It offers certain exclusions to describe what micropartial care does not entail. So clause seven amends section 77 of the Act so as to empower the Minister of Social Development to include in the departmental strategy a comprehensive national strategy aimed at ensuring an appropriate spread of micropartial care facilities throughout the Republic, giving due consideration to children with disabilities or chronic illnesses. Furthermore, the clause places an obligation on the member of the Executive Council to, among other things, maintain a record of all registered micropartial care facilities and also to provide for a provincial strategy to ensure an appropriate spread of micropartial care facilities in their province. We continue to clause 8, which amends section 78 to provide that the MEC for Social Development may provide and fund micropartial care facilities and services for the province. The clause also amends section 78 to provide that a micropartial care facilities must be managed and maintained in accordance with the Act and must comply with the prescribed national norms and standards and the structural safety, health, and other requirements of the municipality of the area where the facility is situated. The clause also stipulates the situation in which the funding for micropartial care facilities must be prioritized. Clause 9, Chairperson, amends section 79 of the Act to place an obligation on the Minister of Social Development to determine national norms and standards for micropartial care, as is already the case with partial care facilities. And clause 10 amends section 80 of the Act to provide for the registration of micropartial care facilities with the provincial government. The clause also provides that micropartial care facilities are registered for a period of 10 years. Clause 11 amends section 81 of amends section 81 of the Act to provide for the registration and renewal of registration for a micropartial care facility. So clause 13 seeks to substitute section 83 of the Act to provide that the registration or renewal of a micro partial care facility may be granted on such conditions as the provincial head of social development may determine. And clause 14 amends section 84 of the Act to provide for the cancellation of registration of a micro partial care facilities under certain circumstances. Clause 15 seeks to substitute section 85 of the Act to empower the provincial head of social development to issue a written notice of enforcement to instruct a person or organization operating an unregistered micro partial care facility or operating a registered micro partial care facility otherwise than in accordance with the Act to stop operating that facility or to apply for registration. And clause 16 amends section 87 of the Act to place an obligation on the provincial head of social development to maintain a record of all micro partial care facilities in the province and conduct a once-off inspection of the micro partial care facility upon its initial registration. The clause also provides that a provincial head of social development may conduct further inspections of a micro partial care facility where complaints arise in respect of that micro partial care facility. And clause 17 amends section 89 of the Act to provide for how serious injury, abuse, or death of a child in the micro partial care facility should be dealt with. Clause 18 amends section 90 of the Act to empower the Minister to make regulations in respect of norms and standards and management of micro partial care facilities. And clause 22 amends section 110 of the Act to place an obligation on a list of persons to report the abuse and neglect of any child at a micro partial care facility to a designated child protection organization, the provincial department of social development, or a police official. And clause 24 amends section 123 of the Act to provide that no person whose name appears in part B of the register may manage, operate or assist in managing or operating a micro partial care facility or work with or have access to children at a micro partial care facility, either as an employee, volunteer, or in any capacity whatsoever. And clause 27 amends section 156 of the Act to empower Children's Court to order that the person in whose care the child was must make arrangement for the child to be taken care of in a micro partial care facility. And clause 28 amends section 191 of the Act to provide that a child and youth care center excludes a micro partial care facility. Clause 29 amends section 304 of the Act to provide that an authorized person may enter a micro partial care facility which on reasonable suspicion is being used as an unregistered micro partial care facility to inspect that facility or observe an interview with any child. Clause 31 amends section 306 of the Act to empower the Minister to make regulations regarding codes of ethical conduct for persons operating and assisting in the operation of the micro partial care facility. And Chairperson, in conclusion, this bill does not have any contrary policy consideration, as many provisions in the bill comes directly from the previous executive bill, which subsequently was split in, into a committee bill. These clauses have already been endorsed by Cabinet and approved by the state law advisors by virtue of the introduction of the executive bill. The bill merely provides protection to children cared for in smaller facilities and required these facilities to be registered and inspected at least once before they can operate, just to ensure that they are, you know, complying to the norms and standards that have been set out by the department. So the bill aims to strengthen the protection of children as envisaged in Section 28(2) of the Constitution. It is respectfully submitted to the committee that the bill be voted as desirable, as failure to do so now in this parliament will potentially result in many children being subjected to conditions that we do not wish to see them in. And Chairperson, I humbly, present this bill to the committee for the committee's consideration. Thank you so much, Acting Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mashangu, for bringing this private bill. I think we'll take it from there.
The department is there.
Who's presenting?
Yes, Honorable Chair Luyanda Mchochisa will be presenting. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mchochisa.
Oh,
thank you. Hey, you are there. Okay. You may proceed.
Through you, Chair. Chochisa, I've made you a co-host, ne?
Oh, okay, thanks, Lindy. I'm just loading. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Okay, good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable members and colleagues. And thanks for the opportunity, Honorable Chair, to respond to what Honorable Mashangu has just presented. So the purpose of this presentation is to provide a response to the proposed amendments as indicated. The response that we are going to give actually excludes the introduction that the minister has already given. So we don't want to repeat the wise words that the minister has presented earlier. But in our response, we indicate that it must be noted that the implementation challenges might ensue as registration and monitoring of facilities catering for a single child or less than six children may prove to be arduous in an environment where there are human resource challenges. We must take into account the issues of fiscal and human resource capacity in terms of persons who have to implement these provisions at the end of the day. This may also prove arduous even for the person expected to register such a facility catering for a single child or two children, three children, but less than five. The issues of zoning or rezoning for the sake of a single child or two may also really hold in the pocket of the applicant who is presenting an application in that regard. Be that as it may, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, the Department also takes note of the rationale of the Children's Amendment Bill 2023. As has been presented by Honorable Mashangu, and is of the view that indeed there is no scientific basis for the number six regarding the definition of partial care facilities, as less than six children may be disadvantaged. We do accept that. Even in the context of what Honorable Mashangu has indicated, that in clause 34 of the bill that is before Parliament, that is the committee bill, This is where we have tried to address this particular issue, let alone that it is limited in organs of state. So we welcome the input that it must be extended to to less than six children for even an ordinary person who wants to apply, not only the organs of state that are contemplated in that particular clause, that is clause 34 of the BAD of 2020. So it must also be noted that there are some parts in the Children's Act where a similar challenge exists. We have also taken into account what Honorable Masango has indicated in terms of cross-referencing this particular issue with Section 191, where it says a CYCC excludes a partial care, a micro-partial care. In the sense that even a CYCC is talking about this particular number, that is from six children upwards. But we are also of the view that maybe in the future that needs to be taken into account as well, because those who are less than six, children who are less than six, may be disadvantaged. So in other words, in the Act itself, there are various instances where you find that it's less than the Act does not take care of children that are less than six in number. And this creates a void indeed in terms of the implementation of these particular provisions of the legislation. But the proposal that we have with regard to this particular bill, which we accept as a department because it is in line with what we have already identified in B18 of 2020, the department has taken note in terms of this particular bill that where we have the word partial care, there must be a micro partial that we also take into account. So the advice that we have is that maybe the definition of partial care be rather reworked to cater for one and more children instead of having micro partial, because now we've got micro partial care, and then we've got partial care, and the implication of that at the end of the day is that these provisions will read similar. So whatever we want to say about partial care, we must also address with regard to partial care. Whereas if the definition of partial care would not say from six children up, would rather say from one children up, and then we know that there is no micro-partial care at the end of the day. But that is just a word of advice, not necessarily saying there is something wrong with the manner in which it is crafted at present, but just to indicate that maybe if one would consider it in that fashion, it would even reduce the number of pages and all that in terms of the presentation. So in other words, we are saying it is not necessary to have a definition of micro-partial care, but that definition be absorbed in the definition of partial care. To say partial care is where a child or more is taken care of in the manner in which this is indicated. With regard to conditions for registration, which we also looked at, we are also of the view that it is not advisable to have a predetermined list of conditions for registration, because we have noted that the conditions for registration, the conditional registration has been extended to also include conditions for registration. You see, this kind of list may pose a challenge as conditions may vary and differ from situation to situation. So if you put a predetermined list, you are frustrating the decision maker if the condition that needs to be decided upon is not part of the list that is provided. It's just a word of caution even in that regard. Maybe to really look at that and recraft it in such a way that the decision maker has got an open-ended list at the end of the day when condition for registration is or needs to be implemented under the circumstances. We are also indicating that the language that is used, we advise that instead of saying or using the word relate, because it says the conditions for registration for registration must relate to the following, and then a list is given in terms of that particular clause. And we suggest that the word include or including, depending on the context of the provision, is preferred. Because when you say, when you use the word relate, you are actually closing the list at the end of the day. And again, goes back to what I indicated earlier, that this may frustrate the decision maker if one of the conditions may happen to fall outside the list that is predetermined in the legislation. But if you use the word include or including, you are actually saying to the reader the list is endless, but within the context of what needs to be done in any event. And then in that way, one would not be frustrating the decision maker when a condition needs to be decided upon. So basically, this is what we have taken into account, and we have also looked at various other provisions with regard to this particular bill and noted that they are merely administrative in the context that they talk about issues of registration, which the Act itself has already taken into account with regards to other issues or matters that need to be regulated. So in that way, we cannot comment much because it is consistent with what the bill or the Act is actually providing for. So we have taken note as well of the fact that this issue is one of the issues that, as I indicated, we may have related to in terms of clause 34 of the bill of 2020, although we limited it to organs of state, and we welcome the idea of taking into account that, I mean, not only organs of state, but extend it to private individuals and such other juristic persons who may need to apply for registration in this regard. We welcome the idea, and this is part of what we will be working on in the future, come the time to deal with the committee bill. And we also need to indicate that we are not in a position to say let it be dealt with at a later stage when we deal with the committee bill, or it be dealt with at present. It is for the committee to decide on that, depending on its diary. But it is the proposal that we welcome as the department. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members and colleagues.
Thank you, Mr. Chiso. Members, presentation from the department. We have also had the presentation of Honorable Mashangu for the private bill that she has brought to the committee. I must thank the two presenters. Now I will be looking for those who want to comment. Okay, I've got the hands of Honorable Leticia, Honorable Lizelle, Honorable Nhlongo. We'll start with you, Honorable Leticia.
Yes, thank you very much. Good morning, Chairperson, and thank you, Honorable Masango, for bringing this proposal to the committee. I think it's a very good proposal, yes, and we are in support of this, amendment that needs to be made in terms of Michael Parcel Trade. Okay, however, I'm just worried in terms of the financial implication of this micropartial care. And then I'm also worried about, like the department did mention, what about those people that have more than 5 children in their private houses? And now I specifically refer to more, within your more predominant black communities once it comes to regulations in terms of that. Will we not get at a point or a situation where we have a problem that because of people are not maybe registered or they are not compliant in terms of what the regulations said, that we will sit with a situation where we have a lot of children that cannot then be in this houses, if you may call it like that. So yes, but that's my only concern. If we can be given the assurance, and I think it can be workable, if we can be given the assurance that this micropartial care will not affect the children, then I would say yes.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much, Honorable Arts. Honorable Lizelle.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the opportunity and greetings to our Minister, our Deputy Minister, if she's online, and all our colleagues. Chairperson, let me first and foremost thank the Honourable Masango for bringing this presentation to us. I think it's a valuable piece of legislation, and at the end of the day, it is our role and responsibility as Members of Parliament to initiate legislation that will strengthen current laws, and she certainly did that. And also, as Members of Parliament serving on this Portfolio Committee, we've got a specific duty to ensure that we protect the most vulnerable children. So I think from a desirability point of view, you know, anything that strengthens the rights and protection of children must be desirable. And I will most certainly take this back to my caucus on Thursday for us to discuss. However, I would echo some of the sentiments that have been raised before. Our unique challenge is that in South Africa we often pass legislation in the absence of adequate resources. So now this piece of legislation, in my view, is desirable, but the enforcement will be problematic. So often we see that departments pass legislation, but then the enforcement becomes a problem, and it will be specific also to this private member's bill in that oversight or the mechanism that she's proposing, in that there needs to be inspections that take place at these homes, which is very valuable. It needs to be done, but it needs to be done by a departmental official or a social worker. And we know the crisis that we've got in terms of human resources with regard to this department. We don't have enough social workers. And certainly, even if we do decide that we want, we deem this legislation to be desirable, this private member's bill, we follow through, we might end up passing a private member's bill, or which we will adopt as a committee bill, of course, if we get to that point. But without the actual resources, financial and human bodies to be able to execute what we are trying to achieve. So I think I need to ask the Honourable Masango what she envisaged in terms of where we will find the extra resources in order to be able to give effect to what she's proposing. And I think also we need to, as we said previously when we discussed the issue of social workers, we need to get to a point where we further engage with, because we've often heard, you know, we heard in these previous presentations from other departments that there's no real plan for them to absorb social workers. And so we need to go back to Treasury and to Cabinet, you know, through maybe it is the leader of government business, to come and explain to us how they envisage South Africa meeting its goals of employing more social workers, because it's crucial. It is crucial for us to be able to strengthen the work we are doing, and to be able to ensure that the Department of Social Development is capacitated to be able to do its job, and ultimately for us to strengthen protection for children. Thank you very much, Acting Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Lizelle. Honourable Nhlongo. Honourable Nhlongo.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. There's honestly nothing much from my side, Chair, but thank Member Masango. and say that it is indeed our responsibility here to make sure that our kids are protected and safe at all times. However, Chairperson, I propose that we defer this matter to the next term, as we are currently busy with the older person's bill, and we can't rush this proposal or this bill that Member Masango is bringing. We have no time. Our term is coming to an end in less than 6 months. So I propose that we defer this matter to the next term. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Songo. Honorable Olnit.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm also want to say thank you to Honorable Bridget for the bill that she brought before us. I'm also just concerned about the implications, financial implications, and also the families that is looking after these children. At the end of the day, are they compliant with all the regulations that is needed? And we usually see the black NPOs that has usually been taken off from grants and are not getting any fundings and things. So if we look at this bill, we need to make sure that everything is there to promote and enhance our black people to have these facilities. So that is the only concern I'm having. But otherwise, I would like to say that we support this thing. It's a very good thing. It's just we must make sure that everything is in place, that our people are not and our children are not going to suffer, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Polnit. Honorable Sukers, followed by Honorable Stock.
Good morning, Chair. Chair, with your permission, I'll just open my video so that you see me, and then I'll switch it off again because the internet is unfortunately not very strong. Chairperson, firstly, let me speak to what the realities on the ground. I'll give an example. Chair, we have, for instance, in the Karoo, and I've mentioned this before, it's a matter that we are strongly advocating for within government as well as provincial at all levels, because in the Karoo, for instance, we have a problem with the lack of facilities for children to be put in protective care where they are needed. This past weekend, I received a call of a child that needed to be removed urgently. It was, again, it's in the Karoo, and they could not find a facility to put this child in. With the result that these children many times go back into the environment that is not good for them. And when we consider the fact that most of your vulnerable children, especially in the different categories or age groups, if you have a child between 1 and 5 that suffers abuse or they are in need of urgent care or they need of, they need of an intervention in whatever circumstances, we really just have such limited opportunity for that child to not be permanently affected by his circumstances emotionally or spiritually. And I think I agree with what was said by Honorable Panamerva. It is the need for partial care, first of all, the need for this, for us to have greater safety nets, I believe this would speak to that. At the same time, when we talk about the regulations and the lack of it or the failure of especially in our poorer communities for the proper norms and standards, all of those things, those are bureaucratic gaps that is a result of the lack of capacity, again, of us having trained social workers and care workers that can actually give greater support to places like what Honorable Masango is addressing here. We have to look at this as an urgent thing. I hear what Honorable Songo says, we can do this next term. I want to really emphasize to all of our members who are very aware of the urgent need for expanded services for children. If you go on the N2, I dare you to drive on the N2 up to Johannesburg, and you stop in every small place on the way. Those are our children that we cannot get into any place of safety or care, and we need to provide urgently. It is a failure, I believe, of all of us that we have not responded to what we have heard this year with the solidarity presentation. We have not responded as parliamentarians appropriately to a crisis that we are aware of. And when we have the opportunity to bring in those measures through legislation that will provide greater access to funding, and most properly, probably if we look at it properly, would also give greater support, training, capacity to those who do provide this and who has a passion and a calling to provide temporary care in whatever form to children. We should look at it not within the context of only our work. We need to look at it within the context of the need that is on the ground. And this is an urgent need. I was unfortunately not in the committee lastly, Chair, for the last couple of months due to my commitment in other committees. I have not heard about the Office of the Rights of the Child and where that is, whether it has been finalized, because this is one of the issues that, for instance, the Office of the Rights of the Child could advance and support and give greater awareness to this committee, for instance. But the rights of children are imperative, and this speaks directly to that, I believe, to give them greater safety and protection. And we need it urgently here in South Africa. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Suker. Honorable Stark.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Honorable Acting Chairperson. Also greetings to Honorable Members, the Minister, the Departmental Officers, and everyone who's in the meeting. I think I also need to just join my colleagues in echoing a word of gratitude towards one of our honorable members, Honorable Masango, for bringing up such an important piece of legislation before, or considering before the Portfolio Committee. But I think I need to also just give a bit of background in terms of where we come from, and I think I agree with most of the members that it's always important to prioritize the rights of our ordinary children and then make sure that the environment that our children find ourselves in, they operate in an environment which is safe and for all of them to operate. And then we are also not making our ordinary children vulnerable to all the societal ills that they might find themselves in. But before saying, Honorable Jefferson, I think I just need to indicate, as I'm appreciating this piece of legislation of the private members bill brought by Honorable Masango to the Portfolio Committee, that during the process when we were dealing with the Children's Amendment Bill, at that time, ourselves as members of the Portfolio Committee, we then agreed that we are going to prioritize the foster care-related clauses only, so that we are able to meet the court deadline at that time in terms of providing a comprehensive legal solution, which with the department was actually struggling from time to time. We need to get extension from the court and all of that. I also just want to indicate that at least we need to appreciate the fact that we have managed to deal with that particular aspect with regard to the court deadline and all of that, and the foster care related clauses have been adopted and so forth. And then secondly, we also said at that time that there are clauses that we are going to put in abeyance. We are not rejecting them. I think that's the legal word that we used at that time. We are not going to reject those clauses.
We're not saying they are not important, we're not going to consider them and all of that. But we use the word rejection in terms of the legal, in terms of the legal definition or legal explanation, that we're going to put them in abeyance and consider all those clauses in terms of a committee bill that will be put or prioritized by the portfolio committee. Now, looking at what is currently happening, what we have prioritized as a portfolio committee, and also at the back of our mind, taking into consideration the fact that there is a process that is unfolding to finalize the Older Persons Amendment Bill. We're now left with one province, which is the Northwest, and then we'll have to process it, and then it will have to go to the NCOP on all that process. And then also taking into consideration the reality which faces us in the portfolio committee that, time is not on our side. We're looking at finalizing everything. Our time is also coming to an end. And there are so many competing priorities before the portfolio committee. Now with all these things happening, Honorable Acting Chairperson, I want to agree with Honorable Hlongo, who has made a proposal that we take note of the presentation made by Honorable Masango to us in the portfolio committee, and then we accept the contents of this presentation, the proposal of the members bill which Honorable Masango has made to us. We accept all the contents, we agree with them. In actual fact, also, I think I just need to say what Honorable Masango brought to us today was actually also part of the some of those clauses that we put in abeyance for the Children's Amendment Bill. So she actually brought it and said, this is a private member's bill, let's prioritize this, let's look at this. So we really appreciate that. But I think, to be quite honest, if we need to be realistic, we've got time constraints in the portfolio committee. We have not yet finished the Older Persons Amendment Bill. And then also the bill that we have prioritized, which is on its way to us, I'm not sure where it is now. Maybe the department will be able to create also just an update as to where is it. The fundraising amendment bill, which was also as part of our program of parliament prioritized. Now, if we are going to say today, let's also agree to this one, the private members bill of Honorable Masango, let's prioritize it, put it in motion. Then it will have its own processes as well, in terms of the legislative process that we are going to unfold, the public participation process, the process of it also going to the NCOP and also the stakeholders, the adverts and all of that. So it's quite a comprehensive and extensive process that will have to unfold. So now without necessarily saying no, let's put it aside or let's reject it. I'm not saying let's reject it. What I'm saying is that I support the proposal of Honorable Hlongo, that we agree with the content and the context of what has been presented to us by Honorable Masango. But then, because of time constraints, which is not on our side, and we are not sure as to what will be the outcome of the elections and what will be the next portfolio committee of social development with regard to the outcome of the elections, whoever will be back and so forth. So instead of us now trying to overburden ourselves with another piece of legislation which we need to prioritize, rather, I will also agree with Honorable Songo, let's defer this important piece of legislation to the next, the seventh parliament. And then thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. That's my submission. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Stock. I will give now to Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Acting Chair. I really want to thank the department and my colleagues for such positive and constructive comments that they have made. Just if I may, Acting Chair, try and go point by point that was made. In some cases I will have to summarize because obviously this is a legal thing, so I'm not that savvy. So with regards to the department's comments and where the advocate was talking about registration and monitoring to one child or less, this bill took into consideration that while we have we have constraints in terms of human resources on the ground, but obviously we cannot use that not to protect children or not to set systems in motion to make sure that we have a legal framework to protect children. So what this bill takes into consideration is that social workers are already in place or should already be in place that are required to investigate and inspect partial care facilities. So it will not just include additional, smaller facilities. And this speaks to what I believe most colleagues have spoken to in terms of us making sure that we take this process forward of ensuring that there is sufficient human resources on the ground, because we cannot put the protection of children in the back burner just because we do not have human resources. And the assertion that it may be challenging to rezone or onerous, as the department was saying, when one child is looked after, I would humbly ask that is the department's sort of prerogative to determine whether it will register that facility or not, according to circumstances, as it were. What I would like to weigh in, acting chair, is the right of the child. That at the center of this whole bill and the discussion that we're having at the moment is the protection of children. We all are aware of how much adversity children are subjected to, and so we as the lawmakers are mandated by the Constitution to make sure that at all possible times we protect the interest of the child, in this case, where they are looked after. Because we can't have on our heads a situation where because we did not come in with the regulating of small facilities, children die or are being treated poorly, and so I don't even want, and I don't think that is what we are doing here, comparing the lack of resources to the responsibility that we have to look after children. And I'm very happy that the department the department is very aware, and the department is actually saying that there are shortcomings, and so we welcome that, and also the admission by the department that there is a void in legislation with less than six children, that for me is so welcome, because then it means that there is a gap that even the department can identify that this bill 18 of 2020, because the bill 18 of in 2020 is essentially a non bill, because it was. I hear the colleagues are saying that it is there. I don't believe it is there, because obviously I don't think it will be revived unless I'm misunderstanding the entire process. But let's not remove this bill purely on the basis that it is a private member's bill and not an executive bill. It is a parliament. It is parliament that is the law-making body, and that is what this bill is doing at the moment. And I understood the advocate to be saying that we should rather reduce the number of children to have one definition of partial care. But I think, and I'm speaking under serious correction here, this argument for me goes exactly against the first point that the advocate made, that where there's only one child and it can be too onerous. So there is no consequence differentiating between micro and normal partial care by having two separate definitions. We welcome the registration issue and we welcome any suggestion from the department, and we can amend the powers of the minister to not have an open list. And on the issue of must versus including in the registration, we welcome an amendment like this. In summary, Chairperson, on the part of the presentation of the response by the department, I would like to welcome any changes and suggestions from the department and of course colleagues. And let's work on the bill that we can all be proud of and ensure that children are protected as is our mandate from the Constitution. And from colleagues, Honourable Harris, the financial implication, as I mentioned earlier, social workers are already hired. Now we just need to include for their caseload to include smaller facilities. Where more than five children in private houses, we have specifically in this bill excluded instances where it is not a proper facility but family or friends looking after children. And Chairperson, with regards to the costing, we welcome, the department is welcome to provide submissions on the costing. And Honourable Fandemere, on the issue of enforcement, we cannot leave children in danger or in adverse conditions for fear of resources. It is our responsibility, obviously working with the department, to make sure that there are resources. I would hate a situation where we are seen to be saying, children, let's just postpone protecting children because we do not have resources. I would rather have a situation where we say, let's make sure that the resources are there so that all children are protected. On inspection, yes, the inspections will be done as is currently required with normal partial care. And on deferring the bill to the next term, the bill can be revived in the new term. But that does not mean that this committee should not, that doesn't mean that the bill is not desirable. So I welcome the comments by Honourable Songo on deferring the bill, but I just would like to know from this committee if the bill is desirable or not. And the processes going forward will obviously have to ensue, and we would be advised by our parliamentary legal people on what that entails. But I would hate for us to cloud the consideration of the bill on the basis of the process, the end of the term, the resources on the ground, and so on and so forth. I would just like to for us to try, and I know it's not easy for this department, especially, to just look at the bill as if everything was in place, because that is what we want to be, everything to be in place for children to be protected. I would like to just reiterate a situation where a comment that was made about families. We have really gone and made sure that we exclude families. I think we've inserted section 76A, which mirrors the partial care section, which specifically excludes domestic workers. Family members and the minister has the power to include any other such person. We have even amended section 76, which talks about partial care, to exclude family members as well. So there is no fear in community members looking after children while parents are away. This specifically speaks to a facility, as it were. Thank you so much, Honorable Stock. As far as I know, there has been no indication that the old bill will revive. It will also die at the end of this parliament, as far as I know. But I believe there are sufficient people in this platform to clarify that point. My take is that we have a bill now that is ready, and your consideration of the bill is of utmost importance for the children of this country. And with lack of time with the older person's bill, that is not a ground for voting it as undesirable. I would like to submit, let's then vote as desirable and deal with it in the new parliament. There are mechanisms to revive the bill and continue with the process. My take, Chairperson, is that the department, both the department and the colleagues on the committee, are in favour of the bill, but we are obviously in considering, and we seem to be also making sure that we don't just consider and vote a bill to be desirable, knowing the challenges we are facing on the ground, such as human resources, such as ensuring that this bill can be enforced, and so on and so forth. And I appreciate that. I'm a member of this portfolio committee, and I've been for a reasonable amount of time, so I truly appreciate that. My humble request to the committee is to say the bill is desirable, and taking into consideration everything and everything that has been raised by colleagues in this meeting. So with that, Chair, I just would like to say we have the opportunity to consider this bill as desirable and allow the processes of Parliament to take the process forward even to the next Parliament. Because in doing that, we will be agreeing with the Constitution that we have the responsibility to protect the children of South Africa. Thank you so much, Chair. I appreciate your attention and the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masango. The department is still around, so that before we wrap up, if they want to say something. Honorable Nhlanga, your hand, sorry. Honorable Nhlanga's hand is up. Honorable Nhlanga.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just before the department come in, can Honorable Masango indicate the budget implications and the rescue allocation to implement the bill? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Nhlanga. Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Honorable Nhlanga. I think this question was raised by one of the colleagues, and I sort of handed that over to the department to determine the costing of the bill. As it were, I'm afraid I have not done any costing at all, and I believe that the department is competent, more competent than me to cost the bill. Thank you, Honourable Songo.
Thank you, Honourable Masango. Mr. Mchotiso.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We have taken note of the comments from Honorable Masango, and we are saying we will be discussing this as we move forward with the bill, because it's a living document anyway. But with regard to the issue of costing, It must be taken into account that the issue that is the contention in this particular bill is part of a broader bill that is before your good selves as a committee. And that bill was costed before it was submitted to the committee, meaning that the issues that Honorable Masango, some of the issues that Honorable Masango has alluded to in the bill have been taken into account in terms of that costing. But because it is being extended a little extra, which means there may be a need for further costing to cater for the areas that were not part of that. Because, for example, as we indicated, that Clause 34 of Bill 18 of 2020 did indicate that there is a need to have these partial care facilities that are owned by the organs of state and all that, which are mentioned in that particular clause, to also take into account a situation of a single child, two children, up to five, those that are not taken care of in terms of the current legislation, and that part was costed. But there is indeed a need for further costing, which has not necessarily been done. We have taken note of the fact that, yes, the department has to cost this and see if it is feasible for the department to implement, but also take into account the austerity measures that have just been implemented by the treasurer. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members.
Thank you very much, Madam Chochisa. Thank you very much, Honorable Masango. I had also, I must also thank my colleague by making sure that they put more effort in terms of the bill that you have put in, private bill that you have put in front of us. I've heard them when they said they talk more about the human resource and whatever, and then they do appreciate your bringing of this private bill. The only snag that they have mentioned is that one that you have heard. And then the Honorable Hlongo have suggested that we must defer the bill as we are still stuck with the other older person's bill, not finished. And then our also the term is too short. And then it was supported by Honorable Stock. So I'm putting it to you, Honorable Members. Do we defer it as Honorable Members have already proposed and seconded?
Member Chair?
Hello.
Chair?
Hello, I'm listening.
Yeah, it's Lindy, we're chair. Can I provide a procedure?
Yes, please.
Okay. Please. Today was the presentation by the sponsor as well as by the department, né? And then we clarify we raise issues of clarity. The next, there are issues that transpired during the proceedings that are picked up. Some members, member Father Merve, mentioned that she needs to have a discussion with her constituency around this piece of legislation. And also, there is an issue about the budget implication as well as the costing of the bill that the department needs to conduct and present to the committee. Chair, how about if we can have, in terms of my committee program, next week was allocated for the committee to have deliberations on the bill. Maybe on next week when the different members have met to have more discussion on the bill, there will be some way forward. What will normally happen in terms of the procedure? When we defer the bill was referred by the speaker for the committee to consider. We've invited the sponsor of the bill, so we need to deliberate on the bill and also to adopt the MOD, whether the bill is desirable or not. If not desirable, we just substantiate what are the reasons thereof. And then we also write table that report to the House, because the bill was formally referred to us. So I just wanted to outline the process. Also another opportunity for discussion next week. Maybe we can invite the department to present next week, and maybe the legal advisor from the department as well as from Parliament, and also the support team might have a meeting so that we can also provide some advice as to the way forward, Chair. So that is the procedure I wanted to give to the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Lindy, for the advice is taken. Procedurally is what should have happened. I take the advice. I think honorable members who have heard, and then we have asked some questions for understanding, and then the department have also come up with the they responded in terms of what the bill was in front of them. So we'll have a date whereby we will all discuss. If we defer, we'll defer from that meeting after taking what is that we can do, or what is that can happen when we discuss alone as the committee members. I think that is that, honorable members. Let's have the meeting next week, even although it's too busy. That's why some of the members who don't have them today, but we'll have the meeting so that as we take serious the issue of children. And then this month that we are in, on the 25th, is this we are launching this No Violence Against Women and Children. So we did take a responsibility as the committee. I think we have been doing well as the committee in terms, although we are struggling there and there, as the department have already alluded and asked. As the members, including Honorable Masango, we know how difficult it is, because we don't have the most of the people that we wanted as the social worker. We had even other departments can also assist in terms of hiring some of the social worker. But I think we'll take it from there when we meet on the next week, honorable members. Lindy, is there anything?
There's nothing, Chair. There's nothing. There's no other agenda item, Chair.
Yes. It was only this private today. Thank you very much, Lindy. And I must also thank the honorable members, thanking also Honorable Masango, the department, everybody who have contributed to this meeting. I think we show that we are taking this meeting very much seriously. So I have to thank you. The meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Acting Chair.
Thank you, Acting Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, members.